Change is nature, the part that we can influence. And it starts...
Eye of the tiger.
Decide.
Eye of the tiger, come on.
Ultimate mastery comes not of the body, but of the mind.
And who can strive with chopsticks, accomplish anything?
Yes, science!
Possess the right thinking.
Then I can change.
Only then can one be seen.
You can change.
I'm your host, Ross Anderson, and this is the Motivational Dude podcast. And on this show, we'll be exploring all the tools and tactics that you can apply to realize your potential, from mindfulness to meditation, psychology, physiology, biology, and much, much more. Let's get to it.
Welcome to the Motivational Dude podcast with your well-being expert, Ross Anderson, and I'm super grateful you're tuning in today. We're going to be touching on a very important topic, as it's something I really don't hear enough about. And unfortunately, it's not something we get taught growing up, at least not explicitly. You hear a lot about health and fitness and diet, but very rarely are we being educated on this topic. And sadly, seldomly, do I hear people discussing it among themselves, among their friends and their family members. So today's episode is going to be on happiness. Specifically, how we are actually going about living a truly happy and fulfilling life. How we actually go about attaining a more truer and happier and fulfilling life. For millennia, philosophers like Aristotle, Plato, Bertrand Russell, Lao Tzu, Confucius, Seneca, Nietzsche, and many, many more all dedicated their lives to the study of happiness. And then, for some reason, over the last few hundred years, conversations and philosophizing on this topic just seem to have faded and dulled, which to me seems illogical, because without happiness in our lives, what really is there? It's certainly something that everyone would agree that they want more of. And if you ask people, you know, what do you want in life? One of the top responses is always ubiquitously more happiness. So we need to put happiness at the center of our world. And fortunately for us, in the last two decades, there's been a huge and seismic shift. In the last two decades, positive psychologists like Martin Seligman and others have done so. Seligman is the founding father of positive psychology. Positive psychology is a discipline that's not just focused on how we can bring people back from a negative 3 or 5 to baseline, to a comfortable medium, but they look more at what's the potential of the individual, what's beyond that baseline, how can we truly lead happier, healthier, more fulfilling lives. And as it stands, if you look at today's current circumstances and situations, facts show that Western depression rates are frightening. They stand between 19.7% to upwards of 26%, depending on your geographical location in the West. And these stats they're not showing any signs of slowing, quite the contrary, actually. But there's also that kind of forgotten about sect of society. Those who don't and aren't necessarily exhibiting signs of what can be said to be the complete opposite of happy, i.e. depression, but they aren't fully fulfilled either. They aren't fully happy either. So we really need to concern ourselves with the best tactics and recipe for attaining true happiness. So without further ado, it's that time again. Rather than talking and talking and talking, it's always more powerful, in my opinion, to act. In fact, to experiment. So you know how much we love and I love, the community loves, throwing on our white lab coat, our goggles, getting our beakers out on this podcast and experimenting. So it's time for that. I want you to maintain your experimenter's ethos, have that top of mind. But before I begin to explain this experiment on happiness, I'd like to ask you a question. I'd like to ask you to think about how you go about right now in life. How do you go about attaining happiness, your happiness? What's your primary source of acquiring happiness in life right now? See, many people have they engage in different behaviours to acquire happiness, and those differences in behaviours cause differences in their overall sensation and feeling of happiness and well-being. Look, I know when I ask that question, what's your primary source of acquiring happiness and how do you go about attaining your happiness? Maybe no one's even asked you that question ever. And I understand that those questions are difficult. They were difficult for me. But adversity and resistance is key to growth in life. We shouldn't always shy away from it. In fact, we should welcome it. Let's get to our experiment, the Happy Chappy Challenge. If you've ever wondered why some of us are really happy and others are really unhappy, and then there's those that sit that kind of forgotten about sector society in the middle, what is it that differentiates those groups? So let's immerse ourselves in the Happy Chappy Challenge and find some answers. It's a very, very simple 2-week practical experiment that requires very little of your time. And it's something that I wish that I'd been exposed to many years ago. Okay, week 1. Week 1, you're going to engage in only hedonic activities. Now you might be wondering, what the hell is a hedonic activity? Hedonic activities they have raw feels. They are pleasures that have raw sensations, such as hugging puppies, eating some chocolate, playing computer games, going clothes shopping, having sex, watching pornography, shopping trips for new clothes, having a glass or 2 or 3 of wine. They have raw, immediate feels. They're pleasures of the senses. So week 1 would require you to engage in one hedonic pleasure or behavior each day for a week. So maybe on the Monday, you go and you treat yourself to some new clothes. On the Tuesday, you have some wine. On the Wednesday, you hug a puppy. On the Thursday, you hug some puppies, but maybe in another way. You get the drift. So it's all about engaging every single day in a different hedonic activity. But here's a caveat. You want to be noting your own subjective happiness levels in the morning, in the evening, and directly after task completion. Now, maybe if you're getting down and dirty with your partner, that's going to be a bit odd if you whip out some sort of journal and start graphing off and objectifying your experience, but you can make it work in your own life. So you note your subjective happiness in the morning, in the evening, and directly after task completion. And here's the barometer. Here's the scale you use. It's a 1 to 5 scale. 1 means very happy. 2, unhappy. 3, neutral. 4, happy. And 5, meaning you feel subjectively very happy. Okay, that's week 1. Week 2, which is the last week, is where you engage in only philanthropic activities. Philanthropic activities are things such as surprising your loved one with a meal cooked from scratch, cutting your elderly neighbour's grass and tending to his or her weeds, volunteering, for example, at your local charity for a few hours, soup kitchen. Maybe on Mother's or Father's Day, you think of a friend who's lost their mother or a father and you check in with them. Maybe you go litter picking around your local community. You write someone who's helped you a genuine thank you note, a gratitude note. You tell those you appreciate just how much you do appreciate them. You tell a family member, you help a family member with a quick task, a difficult task, maybe their homework or some sort of project. The key here is that you give up some of your time and energy in service of someone else. You give up some of your time and energy in service of someone else. So philanthropic activities are sort of acts of kindness, if you will. And then again, note your subjective happiness levels in the morning, in the evening, and directly after task completion, using that same scale from 1 to 5, 1 being very unhappy, 2 unhappy, 3 neutral, 4 happy, 5 very happy. And this should take no less than 2 weeks. Week 1, you choose the indulgent hedonic activities to engage in every single day of that week, and you note your happiness. Week 2, you do the same with philanthropic helpful acts of kindness, and you note your subjective happiness. And by the end of the week, by the end of your experiment, it should become very apparent which of the 2 styles of behaviour bring about more happiness in both intensity and duration. Got a caveat here, a huge caveat. I'm not saying either, neither. Neither is right or nor wrong. In fact, there's space for both of these sort of behaviours in our life. But this is key. You should maintain one of those behaviours or groupings of behaviours should maintain a larger space and focus in our lives than the other. One should be a primary source of how we attain happiness, and the other should be sort of like the cherry on the cake, if you will. So go now, explore the experiment, explore happiness, and become a happy chappy. Peace out, much love, and I'll speak soon.
And that concludes today's episode. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this serves you well. And if you've enjoyed the show, don't forget to leave us a 5-star rating and review over in iTunes. By doing so, you really do help me help others optimize. Peace out, much love, and we'll speak soon.